Well, it is summer, it is July, it's vacation time, and I'm in the middle of preaching some old sermons from the past. And this morning I want to preach one that the text will be found in Ezekiel chapter 33, so you can be turning in your Bible there if you would like. Ezekiel chapter 23, whenever I was a much younger man and my children were small, sometimes I would go to different churches and I would preach at revivals and conferences and things such as that. And sometimes I would just ask my family, I'll say, now what do you think I ought to preach whenever I go to wherever it is? And oftentimes when my kids were small, they would say, preach the tornado sermon. Now the title is not the tornado sermon, but that's what they called it. The tornado sermon. The title is actually The Watchman. This morning, I want to preach for you what my kids, whenever they were much younger, called the tornado sermon. I'm in Ezekiel chapter 33. Would you stand with me, please, as I read from God's Word? Ezekiel chapter 33. I want to begin reading with verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, and when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Verse 6 says, But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman in the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Pray with me, please. Father, today, thank you so much for the blessing of being in this place. God, you have brought us here today for a purpose. And Lord, we have been blessed by what we have seen and heard in our time of worship today. And now I pray that as we look into your word, that your Holy Spirit will look into our hearts, and God, that you will communicate your truth to every person in this room and those who are outside of this room who would watch or listen. And I pray, God, that you'll have your way in every life. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'm speaking to you this morning on the subject of the watchman, a very simple title, the watchman. But you may very well know that in the ancient days, the cities were surrounded by a wall. And on that wall, there would be a tower, and in that tower would sit a man who was called the watchman. His task was to sit in the tower, look out across the landscape, and watch and see if there was any danger that was approaching the city. I'll give you a couple of passages of scripture this morning that you might just want to write down. I'm not going to take the time to read them, but passages that talk about the watchman. One is over in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 18, verses 24 through 26. That's 2 Samuel 18, 24 through 26. It talks about the watchman. And then also in 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 17 through 20, 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 17 through 20, also talk about the watchman. My mind goes back this morning to May the 25th, 1962. May the 25th, 1962. I was living at home, of course, with my mom and dad out in the state of Oklahoma. It was May of the year, which is a very stormy time of the year. I was 10 years old. One of my best friends had come home with me to spend the night with me on that particular night. We were living in a small town of Dill City, Oklahoma, population 600. Salute. If you don't get that, don't worry about it. In that small town, it was supper time. My mom had prepared the evening meal. Fried chicken, potatoes and gravy. And Johnny probably had some pork and bean salad too. Not sure. But it was time to eat, and we were about to sit down at the table to eat. My brother, who's about 2.5 years older than I am, we were in the kitchen there. In our house, our kitchen, you looked out the back door, and it was an open field, just a large open field. We were on the west side of town. I've always lived on the west side of town. West side's always been the best side, amen? And so we were on the back of the kitchen looking out across that field, and my brother went to the back door, and he looked out at the window, and he said to my mom, he said, "Mom, what is that?" And my mom came over to the same door, looked out the same window, and my mom said, "I think that's a tornado." Now, whenever you see pictures of tornadoes on television, they're usually at a great distance, and you see like this big funnel coming down, you know what I'm talking about. But whenever they're real close to you, you don't see that funnel. All you see is a big cloud of dirt coming right at you. And this was close. And my mother said, "I think that's a tornado." She called to my dad, who was in the bathroom washing his hands, getting ready to eat, and she said, "Gordon, come in here and look at this." And my dad came out of the bathroom, still with the bathroom towel, drying his hands. He came to the back door, and my dad said, "That's a tornado." What happened next happened very fast. My dad, my mom, my brother, myself, and my friend, we all went to get in a car. Now, we had two cars. We had the good car, and then we had the, I don't know what you call them, it's not so good car, right? The good car was a 57 Chevy. Now, in 1962, we didn't know how good a 57 Chevy was. But we had the good car, the 1957 Chevy. That was in the garage, and we shut down the garage door to keep the good car in the garage. And we got in the not-so-good car, and whenever we went outside, our neighbors were in the yard, and we began to yell to our neighbors to warn them that a tornado was coming. We got in that old car, and we're driving down the highway in that little small town, and while we were driving, my dad was honking that horn, yelling at folks who were out in the streets, warning them that a tornado was coming. We were making our way to a business that my mom and dad owned that was called the Dairyland. Not the Dairy Queen, not the Dairy King, but the Dairyland. My mom and dad owned it. My grandmother was working there, so we went to the Dairyland in order to get my grandmother. We went into the back door, and my parents said to Grandma, said, "Come on, there's a tornado coming." My grandmother was at the grill cooking hamburgers. She said, "No, I've got to get this order out. Grandma, come on, there's a tornado coming." And so we took grandmother, and then we drove back down to where my grandparents lived. And whenever we got to my grandparents' house, by now, of course, all this time going on, the tornado was getting closer and closer. And so whenever we went to my grandparents' house, because my grandparents had in their backyard, they had a cellar for us to get into. Now, for the uneducated, a cellar is a concrete room in the ground, a good place to be whenever a tornado was coming. Matter of fact, I looked it up. Webster says it is a room for storage, usually below ground or beneath the building, a stock of wines. No. We didn't have any wines in ours. But my grandmother liked a can. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so that cellar was full of mason jars with green beans and black-eyed peas and whatever else was in my granddad's garden that year. So we got inside that cellar, underneath the ground, pulled the door shut, three grown men pulling on a rope to hold that door shut so when the tornado went over that it would not open up. To this very day, I don't know what happened. I know the rope broke. I don't know if it's because of the force of the tornado or it's because three grown men were pulling on it. But the door broke. The cellar door flew open. And when the cellar door flew open, they heard that tornado going over. It sounded like an airplane or a freight train or something that was flying over. And all of a sudden, things that were in that cellar began to move around. And somebody told us later that if the escape hatch on the back of the cellar had not come off, that probably would have sucked all of us out of the tornado, but yet the escape hatch came off, allowed the circulation to go through, and whenever finally, what seemed like hours, probably nothing more than a few minutes, but when all was said and done, and we walked out of that cellar, I saw devastation like I'd never seen before. I saw houses that had been flattened. I saw automobiles that had been crushed. I saw power lines that were down. I remember my dad running down the highway to try to find some help, dodging the power lines that were there. The good news of that story is when all was said and done, everybody in my family, and as a matter of fact, everybody in my small town of 600 people, that we all survived. Nobody lost their life because of that storm. I lived with that story for I don't know how many years. Until one day, as I was reading the Word of God, I came across the passage of Scripture that I just read to you. And it dawned on me that on that day of May the 25th, 1962, that God had used my family to be a watchman to the small town of Dill City, Oklahoma. And what I mean by that was, my family, I don't know if we were the first. If we weren't, we were very close. May have been the very first family to look out the back door and see that tornado as it was coming. My family also became the family that was calling to the neighbors and honking the horn and telling people about a coming tornado. My family was that kind of a watchman. And so whenever I read the story, all of a sudden the message of the watchman had a whole new meaning to me in what has become known now as the tornado sermon. So what is the responsibility of the watchman? I want to give you three simple points today, and I know this is a little unusual of a message today, but I want to give you three simple points about the watchman. And here they are. I'm going to give them to you up front. That way, if you doze off, you'll still have the outline. Here's the job description of the watchman. Are you listening? Number one, see the trouble. That's the first thing a watchman has to do. You must see the trouble. Number two, sound the trumpet. You have to warn the people. When you see the trouble coming, you have to warn the people about the danger. Number three, save the town. If you see the trouble, if you sound the trumpet, you just might save the town. Now, I could say amen and stand us up and sing the invitation and be done, I guess. But you know me well enough to know I'm not going to do that. So let me say a few really quick words about each one of those points here today. Number one, we're talking about the watchman, and the responsibility is, first of all, to see the trouble. If you could somehow visualize back in the ancient day a city with a wall around it and a tall tower there, and there's a man in that tower, the city to his back, looking out across the landscape, looking to see if there's any trouble that was coming. There are two or three things you need to know about that watchman. Number one, he can't be asleep. He can't be dozing off, right? He can't be taking a nap. He's on duty to watch to see if there's any trouble that's coming. I would say another thing to you, that is that he cannot be daydreaming. He cannot be sitting there and not looking out across the land and thinking about things that really aren't that important, just daydreaming on the job. I would also say to you today, he can't be distracted. By that, I simply mean his job is to look out across the field, see if there's any danger coming. He can't be turning around inside the city. He can't be watching the men at work. He can't be watching the women at the marketplace. He can't be watching the children playing in the street. He can't be doing all that. His job is to see the trouble. Whenever I think of that, I'm reminded today of the responsibility of the church. And when I talk about the church, I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about me. I'm talking about people who know Jesus individually. We are the church, right? We make up the church. And so the Bible says, as God spoke to Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel, I have appointed you to be a watchman under the house of Israel. I think what God is saying to me and what God is saying to you, I have appointed you to be a watchman in Jacksonville, in the city that you live, the influence that you have. I've appointed you to be the kind of person who sees the trouble that's coming. And I want to say this to us, church. Are you listening? Number one, we can't be asleep. We can't be asleep. I've said many times whenever I was preaching from that old minor prophet by the name of Jonah, and you remember he was out there running away from God. He gets on board a ship and he goes down to the bottom of the ship. He goes to sleep. A storm comes up, and the old pagan sailors are working their best trying to keep that little ship afloat, keep it from breaking up. And all the time the pagan sailors are up there trying to navigate through the storm, God's backslidden preacher was in the bottom of the ship, sound asleep. And I've said many times, that's a picture of the modern day church. We're living in a world today that's being blown around by all the storms that are going on, and I don't have time to go into all that. But I'm going to tell you, the lost world today is doing its very best to navigate through all the troubles and the trials that are happening in this world. But the tragedy is the modern church has gone to sleep. We're the one who has the answers. So we cannot be like that. We cannot be dozing off. We have to wake up. We can't be daydreaming about things that we maybe of the past, daydreaming about things of the future. We cannot be doing that. And I would also say this, that we cannot be distracted either by other things. Oh, listen, there are a lot of things in the church that are good things. But listen to me. Good things become bad things when they keep you from doing the best thing. Can I say that again? I'm going to. Good things become bad things when they keep us from doing the best thing. What's the best thing, church? It's to tell men and women and boys and girls about Jesus Christ. I wonder sometimes, do you see the trouble? You say, what is the trouble? I've jotted them down for you here today. Whenever you see the trouble, it's on your outline as well. Here's the trouble. Number one, every man is a sinner. By the way, every woman is a sinner. Every young person is a sinner. The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where our trouble comes from. Number two, our problem is the penalty of our sin is death. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Number three, the problem that we have, the trouble that we have, is also that the final abode of somebody who's a sinner is an awful place called hell. So if you and I, as the watchman, if we're going to see the trouble, we have to first of all understand that men and women and young people and boys and girls are lost without Christ. That neighbor of yours is lost without Christ. That man or woman you work with who's lost without Christ. That young person that you go to school with is lost without Christ. Plays on your ball club, goes to dance with you, plays in the orchestra, whatever, they're lost and without Christ. And my dear friend, if they die without Christ, they will spend eternity in hell. You say, but they're pretty good people. It doesn't matter how good they are. Without Jesus, they're lost. And I think one of the tragedies of the modern church is that we have failed to see the trouble. Or that, or maybe we've forgotten it, or we've gotten callous to it. Maybe we've bought into the lie of the modern world that, you know, every religion is good, and so whatever works for them is good. I want you to know that's a lie of the devil. The Bible says there's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you today, you think about your neighbors, you think about your family members, you think about your friends, you think about your classmates. They're in trouble. They're sinners. The wages of sin is death, and they're going to spend eternity in hell, no matter how good they are. So the first thing that a watchman has to do is see the trouble. The second thing I want to say to you is this. The second responsibility is to sound the trumpet. I did a little study several years ago about the trumpet, and the trumpet's very prominent throughout the Word of God. And you'll find that the Jewish people used the trumpet for several reasons. Sometimes they would blow the trumpet to assemble the people to worship. Kind of like that. Blow the trumpet, bring everybody into worship. Kind of reminds me back in the old days. Remember, there are a lot of the old churches, whenever they were built, they put a steeple on, they put a bell up in there, and whenever it's time to go to worship, you'd ring the bell. As a matter of fact, the first church I pastored, we still had a bell. It's called a belfry, is that what it is? And they still had a bell, and we'd sometimes ring that bell. I remember every New Year's Eve at midnight, I'd go over there and ring that bell. But you ring it as a call for people to worship. Sometimes they would sound the trumpet to assemble people to war. That when they knew that there was a battle that needed to be fought, they would sound the trumpet and the army would come together. But whenever we're looking at here in our text, also sometimes the trumpet was sounded to warn people. And that's what we're talking about now, warning people that if there's trouble that's coming, somebody needs to give a warning. Let me go back to my tornado story, because in the small town that I lived in those days, and probably even to this very day, most small towns have some kind of a warning system. They have some kind of a whistle. I don't know, there's some of you surely in this room who grew up in small towns like I grew up in. And then it may have been a horn that was up on the water tower. It may have been up on a pole somewhere. But in the small town that I lived in, whenever there was a tornado in the area, they would sound that warning. As a matter of fact, if I go back to May the 25th, 1962, I don't know where the watchman was, but we never heard the horn. Of course, in our modern world today, we're much more sophisticated than that, right? Now we have television sets and cell phones, and you can sit down in your own living room if you're watching television. If there's a storm coming on, they will break into the news. Doesn't matter. It could be Final Jeopardy. They're going to break right in. They're going to break right in and interrupt that and tell you that there's a storm coming. You got alarms that will go off on your phone. And so we know that they're warning us. And it's important, right? We want that. We want that kind of warning, because then we know what we need to do. Do we need to take shelter? Do we need to get in the car and go somewhere? So the warning is important. And so sounding the trumpet becomes crucial. Now go back to that watchman, if you will. Remember, he's looking out across the city and he sees the trouble that's coming. And then he sounds a trumpet. He turns around to the city and he blows the trumpet. Sound the trumpet. How does a church? How do we warn people about the danger that they're in? I've given you some ways I think that we can sound the trumpet. One of the ways that we sound the trumpet is through our services, just like we have on Sunday morning. I would hope and pray that whenever people come in here at 9:30 on Sunday morning, they go to a connection group. It doesn't matter which one, where. But somewhere in that classroom, somewhere in that lesson, somebody who's teaching the Word of God is warning the people about the trouble that they're in, that they need a Savior called Jesus Christ. Whenever you come into a worship service like this, and we come and we sing our songs and we open up God's Word, what are we doing? We're sounding the trumpet. We're warning people about life and life everlasting and encouraging people to come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. So in the things that we do on a Sunday morning, through our singing, through our preaching, through our teaching, we're warning people about the trouble. We also warn them through what I call oftentimes special events. You know what special events are? Let me tell you what some of them are. I'll tell you, Vacation Bible School is a special event. Why do we do Vacation Bible School? Because we want to warn boys and girls. We want to tell them about Jesus Christ. It's summertime. You heard a while ago on the videos, we're talking about kids camp coming up, youth camp coming up. Why do we do camp during the summertime? Because we want to warn young people and we want to warn boys and girls. We want to tell them about Christ. That's why we do the things that we do. We're not just looking to have an activity to have an activity. We know that there's a problem that people have who do not know Jesus Christ, and so we want to sound the trumpet. We do that through special events. But let me tell you the best way to sound the trumpet. The best way to sound the trumpet is one-on-one, face-to-face, heart-to-heart, talking to your friends, your neighbors, your family members about Jesus Christ. That's what we do. We sound the trumpet. We warn the people. And sometimes I think we've forgotten that it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. Listen, I know I'm the pastor, but it's not my job alone. It's your job as well. We're all believers in Jesus Christ. We all have the responsibility to be a witness. We all ought to be sounding the trumpet, so nobody is left out. I remember whenever I first started preaching this sermon or preparing the sermon years and years ago, I told the story of a young boy by the name of Denny Cade, and the story went something like this. There was a man in a small town, and he had a business where there were all kinds of games. I'm not talking about video games, but he had machines that people would go in there, they would play the games in this business he had. Well, the man, he kept getting robbed. People were breaking in at nighttime, and they were getting the money out of the machines, and so he got tired of it. I'm not recommending this, but he decided one night that he would just take matters into his own hand. The story said he sat in the back of the business, he closed the building, he turned out the lights, he locked the doors, and he sat in the back with a gun. And it wasn't long, he heard breaking into his house, into his business, and he saw a shadow going across, and he fired that gun. And he went and looked down on the floor, and there was a young teenage boy, and the boy's name was Denny Cade. Denny Cade was dead in that store. Small town. Everybody was heartbroken. They had the funeral, and the church house was filled with people who had come to that service. And while the preacher got up on that service and he began to try to comfort the family, while he was speaking, the story said that somehow in the midst of the funeral sermon, the family was all sitting down there in the front, and the man stood up and said, "I killed Denny Cade." And it was the dad of Denny Cade. And maybe that dad realized that he hadn't raised his son right, did something wrong. But anyway, he got up and said what he said, and they sat him back down. The preacher tried to continue. And then as he preached a little further, next, Mama stood up. Mama said, "I killed Denny Cade." And maybe Mama was feeling guilty that she hadn't been the kind of mom that she should have been. The long story went finally another man stood up and said, "I killed Denny Cade." And it was the man who had the business, who had actually fired the gun and terribly had killed the young man. Finally, the preacher just took his Bible and he closed his Bible. And he said, "No, I killed Denny Cade." And he said, "The reason why I killed Denny Cade is because I walked by Denny's house every day. On my way to work and on my way back home, I walked by his house on my way to church every day. And never once did I go knock on his door and talk to Denny about Jesus Christ. I killed Denny." What's he doing? He said, "I'm like a watchman. Well, I saw the trouble coming, but I didn't turn and warn the town. And so I'm the one that's guilty." And the Bible says it like that. His blood's on my hands. I'm the one that's guilty. What he was saying was, I didn't sound the trumpet. I saw the trouble. I didn't sound the trumpet. Oh, listen, friend, you and I, if we see the trouble, and I hope that we do, we must sound the trumpet. One last thing, and I'll tell you this, and I'll say this. Number three is save the town. See the trouble, sound the trumpet, save the town. That's the ultimate task of the watchman, is to save the town. Because when the watchman sees the trouble, and then he turns around and he blows the trumpet, sounds the trumpet, then all of a sudden, notice this, the responsibility changes. At first, all the responsibility is on the watchman, right? He's the one who's supposed to be watching out. He's the one who's supposed to sound the trumpet. But when the watchman does what he's supposed to do and he sounds the trumpet, now the responsibility is not that of the watchman. Now the responsibility is those in the town. That's whenever the men have to decide, all right, I'm going to go pick up my weapons because I know trouble's coming. That's whenever the ladies need to decide, I need to get out of the marketplace and I need to go do what I'm supposed to do. That's whenever the children need to decide, we need to get away from playing now. We need to all take action. So the responsibility then becomes that of those who are inside the city. Verse 4 says of my text, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. That is, if somebody heard the trumpet and they didn't respond, then that's their own fault. Verse 5 says, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. That is, somebody else heard the warning, did something about it, he saved his soul. And so it's responsibility of watchman to sound the trumpet. It's responsibility then of the people who hear to take whatever action they need to take to get ready. You know what? Every Sunday morning, I come to this pulpit to sound the trumpet. I come here every Sunday morning to open up the Bible, to say essentially what I've been saying here this morning, that every man, every woman, every person without Jesus Christ, we're all sinners. To say to every person, listen, that if we die in our sin, we'll spend eternity in hell. And to say every person who would listen, but Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and if you'll give him your heart, he'll change your life and he'll change your eternity. That's my responsibility, because God has appointed me to be a watchman. But whenever I sound the trumpet and I tell you the truth of the Word of God, then the responsibility becomes yours. Listen, those of you in this room today, those of you who are watching by internet, those of you who are listening by radio today, those, if you're hearing this message today and you die without Christ and you stand before God someday, you will not be able to ever say to God, well, nobody ever told me. I'm telling you right here, right now, that without Jesus Christ, you're lost. And you're going to spend eternity separated from hell in an awful place called hell. And that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'll come to him, he'll forgive your sin. He'll be your Savior. I'm simply saying to you today, you'll never be able to stand before God and say, nobody ever told me. I'm telling you now. And as they say, so that means the ball's in your court. You have to decide what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. The job of the watchman, see the trouble, sound the trumpet, just might save the town. I close with this story. I don't remember how long I heard it, how long ago I heard it, but it's been a long, long time. And another one of those stories out there on the farm. And there was this man who was sitting on the back porch of his farmhouse and he was looking out across the valley. And as he looked, he saw that there was a tornado coming across and it was heading across that valley and it was going straight toward a house where the Renfro family lived. And so that man sitting on the back porch turned to his son and he said, son, he said, I want you to run to the house where the Renfro family lives because that tornado is coming toward their house. I want you to go warn them about that coming tornado. And that little boy took off running toward the house of the Renfro family in order that he might warn them about the coming storm. Well, somewhere along the line, as he was running to where the Renfro family house was, he went by a tree. He looked up in a tree, and there was a little bird sitting there in a tree. And as boys will do, he stopped. There was a rock down there on the ground. He reached down and he picked up that rock and he threw it at that bird. And he missed. And so he got another rock. And he picked it up. He threw it at that bird. And he missed. And over the course of time, he threw several rocks. Finally, he picked up a rock. He threw that rock, and he hit that little bird. And that little bird fell out of that tree. That little boy went over to that bird, picked that bird up. And as he picked that bird up, he looked up over at the Renfro family house, and he saw that tornado hit the home of the Renfro family. The little boy dropped the bird, and he went back to the house. And his father was still sitting on the porch. And he said, "Son, why didn't you go warn the Renfro family about that coming storm?" And the little boy recounted the story. He said, "You know, Dad," he said, "I was going to, and I was running out across. I saw a tree. There was a bird sitting in the tree." Told him the whole 9 yards about it, throwing the rocks at the bird, finally hitting the little bird. And when he got through with the story, his daddy looked at him. He said, "Son, what's that on your hand?" And the little boy looked at his hand. He said, "Oh, Daddy, that's the blood from that little bird that I hit and knocked out of the tree." His daddy said, "No, son. That's the blood of the Renfro family that you didn't warn about the coming storm." Folks, I don't know all that means when the Bible says that if we don't warn our friends and neighbors that their blood will be on our hands and that will be required. I don't understand all that means. I do know that it means this. It means we failed at our responsibility. It means we did not do what God has called us to do. And I think sometimes whenever I think of that old story, I think the church is like that little boy. We get distracted about a lot of things. And we're busy, right? I mean, listen, if you're a member of this church or any church I know of, you're a very busy person. Churches are busy. But the main busyness of the church is telling men and women and boys and girls about Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think we're just throwing rocks at birds and trees rather than going out there warning people about coming storms. So I want to close this today by giving just a real simple invitation. Number one is this. If you are a Christian, now I'm talking about really saved, born again Christian, God has called you to be a watchman. And you have family members, you have neighbors, you have friends, there are people all around you who are in big trouble if you don't tell them about Jesus. Why? They're going to spend eternity in hell if you don't tell them about Jesus. You are a watchman of them. So I would first of all encourage you today, invite you today to say, "I want to take my responsibility of being a watchman more seriously. I want to look for those opportunities. I want to tell my friends. I want to tell my neighbors. I want to be a witness for Jesus Christ." Would you do that today? Would you understand? I am a watchman. But my second invitation is this. I would encourage you today that maybe you've heard messages like this for a long, long time, or maybe today's the very first time you've heard it. I don't know. But you understand that you're a sinner, and you understand that the wages of your sin is death, and you know that if you die in that lost condition, if you were to die in the condition that you're in right now, that you would spend eternity separated from God. If that is you, I would encourage you today. You have heard the warning. Today, take action. What does that mean? That means today, decide in your heart, "I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. From this day forward, I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ." And maybe you've already done that, but there's some other things that you need to take care of, whatever that, like I talked about earlier, maybe baptism, whatever that might be. I would encourage you today. I've done my best to sound the trumpet. I would encourage you right now to do whatever God wants you to do in light of His Word. Would you bow your head and pray with me, please? Father, today, all across this room, there are men and women and young people who have listened very carefully and attentively, and I appreciate that so much. But God, I also understand today that more than hearing the voice of this preacher, they need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. So, Lord, as you have spoken today, I pray that we will respond to what you're asking us to do. God, there's some folks in this room today who understand what it means to be a watchman. And maybe they've been a good watchman, maybe they haven't. I don't know. But God, I pray you'd stir up in our hearts a desire to warn people and to point people to Jesus Christ. Father, in this room today, there are good people. Good dads and moms, obedient young people. But some of them have never been saved. They come to church, but they've never come to Christ. So, Lord, I pray that you're going to have your way in their hearts today as well. So, Lord, would you please speak and have your way in our lives today? For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.